So, Lewis, tell us what's going on.
Right, so I guess last time we talked about some possible problems that could be happening with non-blocking writes. And I guess we concluded that it could be either memory pressure or some other factor, right? So I added some new statistics and try to find out what the problem was. So the first one is the number of read hits. But at the end, I have to disable that because it has some race conditions that I couldn't understand. Also, I also added the device idle time, which is that doesn't include the queuing time, but the time from where it sends to the device driver till it completes, right? The idle, all non-blocking write idle. And the idea of adding this is that adding up all these times is exactly the time that non-blocking write is able to save, because these times are the times that that without non-blocking writes will go into the foreground fault handling, and we're making.
Can you again repeat what time this is? I mean, can you explain what it is?
This is D2C basically, from time
to
of
dispatch to completion
to the device driver till completion.
Okay.
Right. So. Right, so what I was saying is that this time is the foreground time when non-blocking writes is not in the system or is disabled, right?
And you're saying it's not I to C, it's not
no,
I to C.
No, it's not I to C, because the thing is that because of non-blocking write, we're making the queue much more bigger, or much more bigger. So we are, in fact, adding a lot of queuing time. While in the case of vanilla, the queue will be only one, because we can have only one outstanding, one fault handler happening at the same time.
But if you do I to C, wouldn't it be more accurate? Maybe it's the same as D to C.
No, it's not. I mean, in non-blocking write, there's a huge queue which has a huge weighting.
Sure, but these measurements would be only for vanilla, right? Because you're finding out how much time we could save in the non-blocking writes.
I don't see why that would be only for vanilla.
Because if you want to compute how much time non-blocking writes save, you look at vanilla I to C and sum up all of those times, and that's the time that non-blocking writes would save.
But in vanilla, the I to C, assuming that it would be...
Yes. I'm in another meeting now. So we'll have to make some other time.
Sorry, I collected some traces.
Oh, okay. Let's wait until... that's good. So you want to stop by, let's say, at
11:15?
11:15. You have class at that time?
No, I don't have class.
Okay, so stop by at 11:15. I think I'll be done here. Yeah?
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
Right, so my point is that in vanilla, I to C would be the same as D to C, because you would have only one outstanding I at a time.
Okay, so yeah, that may be true.
Right.
That may be true. Yeah. Would
now.
Be, yeah. Anyway, so
now what I'm doing is that I'm calculating D to C non-blocking write, because simply I to C non-blocking write won't make any sense.
Well, I to C in vanilla may be different if you have multiple threads.
That's true.
Than D to C. But in any way, I mean, in any case, let's talk about what you actually did.
Okay. Now, I also added the number of free pages for every entry. Right. What else? The other thing is that I make the stats print more frequently. Instead of 1 second, I make it print every 100 milliseconds. And I think this is affecting the times, because now things run slower.
Are you writing to the same disk?
I'm not writing to this, I'm sending it over the network.
Over the network.
apparently is making things slower.
Okay.
Both vanilla as well as non-blocking brains.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's something we need to fix later.
Right. So I was able to run the experiments with a new number. I basically run the two microbenchmarks I have, as well as BATIC, Lacapos BATIC. Okay, so one thing we had pending last time was to see if GFP no weight, if we are using GFP no weight in our allocations. And it turns out that we are using GFP no weight. So the point is that if there is non-memory, then this should fail, right?
This is for patch creation?
This is for patch creation, yeah.
Okay, and if it fails, what happens?
Then it follows the normal path, which means that it will wait for the IO to finish.
Okay.
Actually, one number I wanted to add was to count how many times this happened, I mean that it fails. I think it doesn't happen that frequently, but it didn't add it, so I'm not sure. Okay, so let's see. So the first microbenchmark was the read-write mmap, which basically, this is a benchmark where I write to a page and move right away to the next one. Right?
Okay.
I don't write the whole page, but just make a single write in mm-hmm. page. Well, in this case, the auxiliary write fetches is very big, as expected, or something like 1600 auxiliary ions. And one thing I saw is that every IO, non-blocking write IO, spend a considerable amount of time in the queue. That makes sense, right?
Before you talk about the detailed stats, do you have the time for vanilla versus non-blocking write in this?
I do. It's in the spreadsheet.
Okay. So what should I be looking for here?
The first one. Just go down. Yeah. So,
something like share screen. No, I cannot do that.
I guess we use your phone.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to share the screen with you, Ricardo, but I cannot because you don't have a smartphone. The phone is not smart enough.
No, don't worry.
Okay.
Okay. So then, yeah, that's the non-blocking write time, and that's the vanilla time. That's a benchmark time.
Okay.
Right, which is different than the real time. It's much bigger because the real time includes initialization and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the system time.
We're spending less time in system than vanilla?
Yeah, that's odd. I didn't understand why.
So just for Ricardo to know these numbers, non-blocking writes runs in 4.36 seconds.
Yeah.
And vanilla runs in 7.5 seconds.
Probably we're less time in system is because in vanilla it has to wait inside the fault handler.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't wait in the fault handler. It just what would happen is it would send the IO and then instead of waiting in the fault handler, it would tell the system to schedule something else until the IO is done.
Sure.
So if there's nothing else, it'll just schedule the idle process.
Yeah.
So this is, do we expect this? I mean, this is the expected time?
This is the best time, this is the best case for non-blocking writes. Right? Mm-hmm.
So with non-blocking writes, all that 4.36 seconds is spent in doing I.O.?
Yeah, it's spent waiting basically for memory.
Waiting for memory?
Yeah, which is basically I.O., right?
So what do you mean by waiting for memory?
Every time there is a new non-blocking write, we need to allocate a new page.
Hmm.
If that page is not available, we need to wait. Right?
Wait for eviction?
For
dirty page to be written out?
For instance.
So clean page, then there is no IO involved.
There is no IO, but we don't know if it's clean or not.
Okay. So we don't know if it's an IO8 or not. It could be an IO8, it may not be.
It is most likely an IO8, basically because we are dirting all the pages in memory. So that means that they have to be written back.
I see. Okay. Because of the benchmark itself.
Yeah.
And here the average batch queue size is 1.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, which makes sense. Batch creation time, 3.37 seconds.
Yes. Which means that all that time was spent creating patches.
And there is 1 extra second. Oh, where is that going?
Not sure. It's probably in user space as well as mode switch.
Mode switch. And also interrupt. There's some part of the interrupt handling that is not accounted for
here,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is all the 4 steps of the fault handling?
Yeah.
Patch creation?
Yes.
Including the allocation of a page,
the
issuing
of the
I.O.
Issuing of the I.O., allocation of the patch as well.
Okay.
Single stepping.
Right, so I think we should probably change the term here. This patch creation would involve allocating memory for a patch and single stepping. This is actually handling a non-blocking write fault. Okay, so this so patch creation is majority of the time, and of which of these 4 steps, which is the dominant one? I mean, this is step. Which is step 1? This guy right here. V is step 1.
No.
P.
Yeah. No. Well, the thing is that the first step is divided in 2. The first step is dividing between minor and major. In the case of minor, we only have to do a lookup. In the case of major, we have to look up, allocate a page, and also send the IO, right? So the first one, the one you have the cursor one,
mm-hmm.
is the minor. The minor case, which is only lookup.
Only lookup, no allocation.
Yeah. No allocation.
So this is kind of trivial, right? This time it's 973
nanoseconds. Actually, actually the time is really high, and I don't have
it's
an
per
exact
IO?
Time. It's per minor fault.
Per minor fault. 973 nanoseconds.
Yeah.
Well, compared to that, this is
pretty big. Yeah.
It's pretty big. I mean, we shouldn't be spending much time here. We should be spending time here for.
Yeah. So in that case, not only the time per major fault is really high, but it also happens very frequently. So most of the time should be spent there. It's almost 400 microseconds for every.
Yeah.
For every fault. Right?
So that's and so this patch creation time is this plus this. Plus this, plus this guy?
Plus the next one.
Plus the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that this is where most of the time is going, right? All the time is going. It's just in the...
Yeah, it's a substantial amount of time. So, it's allocating and sending IO.
Allocating a page and sending IO. Trend similar for the rest of the workloads? Did you see that? That most of the time is spent in allocating a page?
No, I have to say no. I think in the BPQ is different.
BPQ cache?
The next one.
This one?
No, the previous one.
Vanilla? Oh, this
no.
guy.
And the reason is that in this one, there is less memory pressure.
But again, this is the dominant cost.
That's true, but it's not as high. the OS almost 400 microseconds.
But relatively to the other steps, I mean, this is pretty high. This one also? Like this one also is included?
No, no, that's something else. That's the actually that one is the average time to allocate a page.
I mean, what I'm saying is that this guy is 1,000 times more than any of the other guys.
Yeah.
So it is the dominant cost effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. So even in this case where we thought this is the benchmark where I fill the page and I only move to the next one when the page is completely filled, right?
Hmm.
So in this case we thought that there were not memory pressure, but it turns out there is memory pressure.
There is?
Yeah. So this is the number of free pages.
No, hold on. I mean, all of these guys have memory pressure, right? We are just comparing whether the memory pressure for the non-blocking writes is the same or more than vanilla. That's what we are actually evaluating. Correct?
I see.
Because all of these are under-provisioned.
Right.
So relative to vanilla, is there more memory pressure with non-blocking writes? Or less?
Right. I guess there is more memory pressure. We need more space for patches now, which vanilla doesn't need, right?
Yes.
So the point is that in vanilla, the kernel has more chance to free memory.
Mm-hmm.
That chance is not possible in non-blocking writes because we're constantly allocating memory, new memory
for patches. And here the average patch queue size is...
It's pretty big, yeah.
It's pretty big, and so you need to maintain all of these patches in memory.
Yeah.
Besides allocating memory for the workload itself.
Yes.
So, no, but hold on, we actually discussed this last time. We said that at any given time, you need patches only for one page.
That's what I was saying, that this particular one doesn't have memory pressure, or
doesn't.
As much... Doesn't.
I thought you said has memory pressure.
No.
Okay, so there's no memory pressure here.
No. Well, I mean, that's what we thought, and it makes sense. But based on the number of free pages, it seems like the memory pressure is very similar to the previous benchmark.
I think we shouldn't compare benchmarks. I mean, except broad trends. I mean, specifically, we shouldn't look at numbers across benchmarks. Because it doesn't, to me at least, it doesn't make sense. Within a benchmark, we can look at numbers for non-blocking writes and vanilla.
No, well, my point of comparing the numbers is that in the previous one, we know for sure there is memory pressure. So my point is that we need to know how many free pages mean memory pressure, right? So I have now a number that says this is the number of free pages that the system has at any given time.
Okay.
So, but the question is how many pages means, or how many free pages mean memory pressure?
You cannot have that number. The reason is memory pressure is defined by the workload and the demands that it places on the memory. Some workloads may consume memory a lot quicker than other workloads. So that's why it doesn't make sense to look at free memory as a memory pressure, sort of a generic a value across all the workloads.
Hmm.
So some workload may be doing really great with very little amount of memory, right? Free memory, because it's consuming memory at a slow rate and it's sort of freeing memory at an equally or at an equal rate.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying that it's not a good idea to look at numbers across workloads.
Okay.
But you could look at numbers. You should look at numbers for non-blocking writes versus vanilla within a single workload.
Yeah. Well, probably the memory pressure in this case comes for the fact that we are constantly allocating patches, even though...
But then at any given time, can we have... I mean, we came up with a bound for how much additional memory relative to vanilla that non-blocking writes would need. And it's just for one... page, the patches for one page, which is, let's say, 600 patches times 30 bytes or 40 bytes, which is 2.5 k kilobytes, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, 25 kilobytes. It's not much.
Mm-hmm.
So relative to vanilla, where is, are we consuming a lot more memory for a specific workload is what we need to worry about?
Well, in this case, we are, the allocation time is about 2 microseconds. So it's a big time, actually.
But and how also, about the same similar time for vanilla, right?
Right.
I think that's what is interesting to understand, to see if the additional time we need here, which is close to 2 seconds of more time, right? Where is that coming from?
Well, what it calculated was now that, that we have the V2C times and this single thread, right?
Mm.
So it should work. What I have is that the time, the IO time saved by non-blocking write is close to 4 seconds. And that 4 seconds is just a summation of all IO time in the device, right, itself. Not queue, but a device. And the other thing is that we spend 6 seconds or, yeah, 6 seconds on creating patches. So that means that, hold on a second, I have a calculation there.
Right, so patch creation time.
My point is that if you have the time saved minus the patch creation, which is overhead, you should see how much time we're saving.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that works.
Yeah, it does.
So
so where is the time saving here? The I/O time saving?
So this is the non-blocking write I/O saved.
Okay. So 6.3 minus 3.8, that's pretty close to the difference here, right?
Right. But the question is how much time was spent doing patches?
Real-time difference is minus 2.8.
Exactly. No, this is the real-time difference. Is that difference? The real-time difference?
Oh, okay.
And this is the one that I calculated, which is minus 2.4.
Minus 2.4. That's pretty close.
Yeah. So that's basically the non-blocking write I/O save minus the patch creation.
Hmm.
And that kind of calculation also worked in the previous one.
But the weird thing is that, I mean, the time that we are spending here for allocating a page, vanilla would have to spend the same time as well, right? For allocating a page.
That's true.
I mean, it's not creating the patches and so on, but it's spending time waiting for a full page of memory before it can issue IO. So
yeah, I guess we have to see the numbers because it probably not spending a lot of time. Well, I don't know. I'm assuming that it has memory pressure somehow. If this has more memory pressure than vanilla, then it makes sense that vanilla spend less time in that in that page allocation phase.
The difference between this guy and vanilla is that with vanilla you need only one page at a time, one additional page at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true here as well, right? You need only
not one really, because the patch allocation is also consuming pages.
Oh, yeah.
The patch itself.
Mm. That's true. And how much is that though? That's 25 kilobytes, we thought.
Yeah,
25 kilobytes.
That's divided by 4 is 6 pages.
Yeah. Could that make the difference?
I don't know. Yeah, well.
So can we measure how much time vanilla has to wait for a patch, for a page when it's faulting? I sense that we are sort of losing time somewhere else because this.
No,
this
but
work?
The thing is that I understand about the point that there is only one non-blocking write at a time. But I think if you start adding up the dirty pages that we have in memory, the pressure starts piling up.
But it will be the same for vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla I'm just saying that it's not the same for vanilla. What I'm saying is that this is under memory pressure. Because we're seeing all these numbers as if the system was not a memory pressure, because we only need one page for non-blocking and so on.
No, I'm not looking at it that way at all. I'm just looking at vanilla versus non-blocking writes with the understanding that both are under memory pressure.
Okay.
So the question is, there is a difference here of 2 seconds. Why is there that difference when both are under similar memory pressure? I don't see how with non-blocking writes is in substantially higher memory pressure than vanilla. That's my point. But yet there is this 2 second difference. Hi, Leo. Yes, submit the application, but you'd also need to send in letters of recommendation. I think they will ask you for reference emails, and then I will get an email saying submit a letter. I would guess so, because I do get emails from FIU asking for reference letters. But submit the application, please. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's, just find out what Nimble is doing a little bit ahead of time. Go through their web page and if there are any videos and blogs and things like that. Okay, great. All right. Good luck. Yep. Bye. Sorry. Yeah. My view is just that we should compare against vanilla. That's really what we are competing against here. Looking at non-blocking writes across the benchmarks,
I think
not
I have,
really that useful.
I have BBQ for vanilla as well. But the problem there is that that BBQ is for...
So here's the fault time.
Yeah.
And this is what is this? This is just like a cumulative fault time.
Yeah.
So the BPQ fault time, the total fault time is 7 seconds, right? And here our total fault time is...
It's much smaller because now there's almost no normal faults.
But what about non-blocking write?
Yeah, that's most of the faults.
Where is that?
That's the...
This guy?
Yeah.
And even that's lower. Including all the page allocation. This includes all the page allocation, right?
Yeah.
And so does this.
Yeah.
So if vanilla page fault handling is higher than non-blocking write time, why do we see this reversed? That's my question. Maybe, is it possible that somehow this benchmark time, the way you measure it is different than, or not synchronized with how you measure the fault time? Is that possible?
I don't see what you mean. What do you mean by the kernel?
So all of this time is measured inside the kernel, right?
Yeah.
This guy is measured in user space.
Yeah.
So is it possible that these don't match because we are measuring different parts, not overlapping in time? Maybe there are some...
I don't think so.
But do you see the problem here that this being lower, the non-blocking write time, which is all the faults in non-blocking writes, I guess plus this guy, right? plus the major fault time. This plus this is still lower than this. But yet, the run times are reversed. If I saw something like 6.14 here, then it would make sense given the rest of the data. That's what the rest of the data is telling me, right? This plus this, around 6, and maybe a little bit more for user mode execution.
Yeah, I would say that the
rest user of time, look, user time is actually
The only time that I've not measured there is the mode switch time. Which, I don't know how big it is, but what I'm sure is that it happens a lot. It happens in the execution. It happens 6 million times.
Let's do the same calculation here with RW map, RWM map. Do we have the vanilla numbers for this guy?
I do, but I don't have it in that spreadsheet.
Okay. So you think it's because of the context switches that we are not measuring?
But we cannot measure inside the kernel.
Those times include the single stepping, right?
Which
one of the steps, the non-blocking write time.
Yeah.
This includes the single stepping.
Yes.
And that doesn't turn out to be much. That's this guy here or this guy?
The first.
184?
No, the other one.
375?
That one.
Hold on. Oh, what is this? Where is the allocation?
Yeah, the thing is that you're looking at an old data, but I think that's valid data. The new one is
okay.
That one.
So this one is the...
Singles. No, that's... single.
This setting. Is allocation.
That's allocation.
Page. Allocation patch.
Patch. Single stepping.
Single stepping.
And queuing and a bunch of things in there. Once we have the data.
Right. The single stepping is, if we forget about the page allocation, the single stepping is substantial.
Yeah.
But given that page allocation is 1,000 times more, the single stepping, optimizing that doesn't help us.
Yeah. I don't think
unless,
so.
Well, how many of these, 6 million, you said, for BBQ?
Yes.
There's 6 million.
Yeah.
6 million times single stepping of 381, how much is that? That's about... It's quite a bit, right?
Yeah, it's
1.8 seconds.
Yeah,
I think. Let's see. This is nanoseconds?
No, that's just says this divided by 1E9.
This one? The one I have here?
Yeah. C 323 divided by 1E9.
But isn't this per?
Yeah.
But I would like the total time.
That would be the total time, because that's the total time.
This is the total time?
Yeah. No, that's the per single stepping. This is the total time in seconds.
Divide by 1E9 would be the...
No, but that's the top one. The one
I chose this one?
Yeah.
Oh, the top one is the total time?
Yeah, in nanoseconds.
So this is the one in seconds. So that's a substantial amount of time, single stepping.
Yeah. The point is that, probably the point of this one is that even though it is huge, the time per...
it's not happening as often.
Exactly.
Oh, So we shouldn't be looking at this guy at all. We should be looking at this, the upper number.
Yeah, the upper number is the total number.
Because this this one is not comparable. We should be looking only
yeah.
at these numbers.
Yeah, yeah, they're comparable only if they happen as frequent.
Okay, so that's a completely different story now. Okay, so let's look at, what's this?
That would be the patch allocation time.
This guy? This is the page allocation, right?
That's the page allocation time.
Okay, that's, whoa, look at that now. That's really what we should be looking at. So I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think the one should be not as big as actually very big. It seems like almost optimizing any of those steps will make a difference. Except that one.
What about this guy?
Actually, you should look at this one. This one, yeah, that's the lookup.
Yeah, I think that's what we should be looking at, really.
Yeah, the lookup is not
okay,
very
so, so if we look at these, look at these times, so can I add up all of these guys to get this? This fault time plus each of these guys?
That's one, that's the 6 seconds, yes.
What happened to this?
The thing is, like, when you zoom out, then it's not up much. Or, I mean...
Yeah, okay.
Might be Safari or WebKit.
Okay, so... Alright. So now the page allocation is not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are sort of confused because... I was confused because of this number. So here we see that single stepping is actually substantial.
Yeah.
And so is this page patch allocation.
Yeah. And yeah, and, that and that's probably because it has to wait sometimes. Well, actually that's weird because I'm making that not wait.
Yeah. But we're still missing around 2 seconds, I think, right?
Does no wait include no IO as well?
I think that basically means allocate, as far as I remember, allocate a memory, that but it's not critical memory, so don't do atomic, GFP atomic. It's not critical memory, but I don't want to wait at all. Mm-hmm. Wait at all. So if there is memory available, give it to me, otherwise not. Otherwise return all. So
no wait implies no IO.
No IO, yeah.
Okay, so what are we, what is the plan now, given this?
I mean, it makes sense to target and see the single stepping on the other one.
The other one is which one?
I guess the 3 steps that have about 1 second.
This, and this?
Yeah.
Well, it would be important to find out how much vanilla spends waiting for pages to allocate.
Yeah.
If vanilla spends the same time, then we don't have to worry about it. Same or more. Then we just have to worry about things that we do additionally in non-blocking writes,
mm-hmm.
but are unoptimized.
Right.
So, I think Jesus is working on optimizing the single stepping, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going? I think that seems to be
yeah.
At least now it seems critical for this benchmark. Do we have like similar numbers for the other benchmarks? I have to create this column or
only Batik.
Batik. Let's look at Batik.
But I think Batik. Oh.
These 4 guys. 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
And 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can copy and paste.
No, I don't want to start speaking.
Great.
Start speaking, no. I can actually command this with my speech. That's good.
Well, I mean,
it's too much.
That would make, yeah, but that would divide a bunch of things that we don't want.
Yeah, that's fine. So we can delete that, delete that, delete that, delete that. Okay, so what's going on here?
Right, so apparently in this case, single stepping, the problem here is that it turns out that non-blocking writes is not as frequent. So if you see, the total fall time is 27 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's a normal fall time,
hmm.
which means read faults or probably minor faults, while non-blocking writes has a total time of 4 seconds.
Right here?
Yeah. So all the time spent in non-blocking writes is only 4 seconds.
It's 4 seconds, but look at the time here, right?
Yeah.
So there's something else going on here. So how many pages are handled using non-blocking writes in this case? Or what is the fraction of pages, fraction of faults that are non-blocking?
That would be... the number of non-blocking writes divided by the major faults.
Where is that?
I guess we have to calculate that. Hold on a sec.
I think that's an important metric, fraction of faults that are handled using non-blocking writes. You probably have summary metric somewhere here.
Yeah, I remember it was, if you go to dispatch, go here, it was 27% for that case. So it should be pretty similar for the other one.
But where is that 27% coming from?
That's the number of non-blocking writes. Yeah, the number of non-blocking writes divided by the number of major faults.
So this number right here, this J47. Like this one?
No, no, it's different because the thing is I'm hiding some columns here. Yeah, some columns.
Okay. So is it this one then, or this one?
Okay. So if you want to calculate it, then open those in the. Do you see those arrows?
Yeah.
No, not that one. The first one.
This one.
Yeah. So that then you need to sum up all these columns.
Sum up all of these. This.
Yeah.
These guys.
Mhm.
Is it that way?
No. Let me try. So. So these two are major faults. Now, the number of major faults, the number of fetches applied, the maximum outstanding write fetches. I don't forgot there are too many columns. Okay, so. Okay, the number of reading patches.
By the way, Louis, the vanilla time, is it also with all these tax reporting?
This time? No, this is a time reported by time.
I know, but does it, those executions also include collecting stats?
Yeah, it does.
So it's a similar overhead?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so 89, this is something else. This is a blocking, non-blocking writes, which means how many non-blocking writes were blocked by a read. This is the one, right? So it would be, okay.
K413.
Yeah. It would be this guy.
This guy.
Divided by this plus this. And I guess that multiplied by 100.
25%. That's not quite a bit.
Yeah, but also there are also a lot of blockings, right? There's a lot of blocking. What else? Yeah.
So this is the 4 seconds for handling 25% of the
non-blocking rate. Of the
25% of all faults.
Of all faults, yeah. Major faults. Actually.
And the total fault time is 27.
Yeah.
Which is.
I guess it's more because there I'm not including the non-blocking rights for minor faults. Right. In that 25%, I'm only accounting for the faults that issued an IO. Yeah, so it's probably more.
Okay, so do we have any clue what's going on? I think right now we are kind of lost in too much data.
Yeah.
We don't have like a intelligent view of what's going on. We have like a like a statistician view of things, which may not be very productive.
Yeah, well, the problem with BATIC is that BATIC is multi-thread, so the numbers are weird sometimes. Something like sometimes, I don't know.
I think we should look at this sort of distribution of time across all the benchmarks and see where it would make sense to invest our efforts. Right. I think the single stepping is clear for at least a couple of benchmarks, right? There was BTQ was one where
sure.
Single stepping dominated. BATIC, single stepping doesn't dominate, but...
Well, but the reason it doesn't dominate is that the patch creation time compared with the average, with the total fault time is much less, right?
No, I'm just talking about the patch, among the patch creation time components. This one doesn't dominate. Just along the patch creation time components.
Yeah.
Whereas, what is this fourth guy here? What is this?
That's the single stepping.
Oh, that's single stepping?
Yeah.
And okay, so it's actually, in this case, the page
allocation time.
Page allocation time.
And IO.
IO?
Yeah.
The page allocation includes IO, right?
Yeah. Well, that page includes both things.
Okay, so it would be good to find out what this number looks like for vanilla and see if we are close or we are introducing more time for page allocation. And if yes, then we may have to think more about what's going on. FOP, what about this guy?
That's all data, by the way. I mean,
old.
It's good data, but I don't have the new stuff.
Should we use this data?
Yeah, but for instance, I think this guy doesn't have the faces, the major and minor faces of the non-blocking right divider.
That's fine. I think if we have the patch creation time.
Yeah, I think it's these four. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, these guys?
Yeah. 5 seconds looks like a lot of time.
5 seconds for what?
That's for
page allocation.
Page allocation.
This is patch allocation, single stepping. Single stepping seems substantial.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but my problem with that is that Well, first, I think that the time is going somewhere else. Even if we make single step in zero, that time will be 36 seconds, which doesn't match with the vanilla.
What you're saying is that there is some time, additional time,
yeah,
going somewhere else.
Yeah.
This time is going here. Right? It's a fairly reasonable amount of time that goes into the single stepping.
True. But in this case, for instance, you see that it is 1.25 seconds,
mm-hmm,
right? If you compare the benchmark time of non-blocking vanilla,
there is some gap.
Yeah, there's still a gap.
Still a gap.
So even if we optimize this, we don't really match the vanilla time.
Right. So, but this is one step towards that, the way I
true,
see it.
True. But I think there is a bigger part that we can optimize. I don't know which one is it. But I think there is something else.
So one thing which you brought up earlier was the context switch time.
Yeah.
Or mode switch time. Right? Is there a way that we can estimate that?
Well, once I did that, I did a small experiment to account for the context switch time, and it was about 2 microseconds.
2 microseconds per context switch. Okay, so let's use that as a ballpark number here and see if that explains the difference.
Right.
So how many context switches do we have?
All major and all minor.
These two guys?
No, the 4 guys.
All these guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 2 microseconds, right?
Yep.
2 divided by 1.9, right, times some of these 4 guys.
Right. I think it's the parsing is wrong because it's first dividing and then multiplying.
I wanted to multiply and then divide, but I thought it would be the same thing. I don't know why. Let me do the following. Equal to sum of these 4 guys times 2 microseconds, right? 2 microseconds.
Divided by 1.6.
That's the problem. 3.5 seconds.
Now,
does that explain the difference? I think it does.
True, but not necessarily, because we also remember...
You are the one who suggested...
True. But my point is that those 3 seconds, they're also happening in the background, which means that...
They're happening? No. It's in the foreground.
No, it's in the background, because these, for instance, in the VPQ, I think it's easier to see in the VPQ. In the VPQ, we send with the first fault we have, we send the IO, right? In the vanilla case, that would make the benchmark to stop waiting for the IO. In the non-blocking write case, it moves forward, right?
Mm.
So what that means is that we're moving forward in the non-blocking write IO. In vanilla, we can't. And my point is that while we're moving forward, those switch modes, mm-hmm, are actually, you cannot count it as a foreground time, because you're saving that time, right?
You can if the vanilla is able to schedule something else during that time.
True.
So especially in a multi-threaded environment.
Yeah, like this case. I think
else.
FOP is multi-threaded. I think all the empathics are multi-threaded.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I have to go class.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. So I think that could be one.
That does explain the difference a little bit. What else do we have?
Yeah, other than that, I don't know.
I think there is a basic issue with the context switch overhead, right? If there is a lot of context switch overhead, then we are stealing away time from maybe scheduling something else and having something else run.
Yes.
So it may be better to actually schedule something else.
Yeah.
And block on a non-blocking write if there are too many faults on a...
Yeah.
Right.
I know. I know that for a couple of weeks now. That at some point we have to stop doing non-blocking writes. The thing is that I think that's related. That's related with a couple of things. It's related with the idle time. It's related with the size of the patch queue. Mainly those two things. And I don't know. I guess we have to come up with a heuristic where to stop. But the thing is that first the aisle will indicate for how long the other process is waiting for the CPU will have to wait, right? And the patch queue size indicates how frequently we are faulting on that page, right? So based on those two things, I think we can come up with a heuristic where we say, okay.
Can we just call schedule at some point?
We don't need to. We just have to lock on the page or something.
No, I'm saying without blocking, but having something else run on the CPU. Right?
But I mean that means blocking, right? If you want something else.
What I'm saying is that without actually waiting for I/O.
Why don't you want to wait for I/O?
Because if something else doesn't exist to be scheduled, I want to keep going.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, we can call a schedule where we're saying, okay, let's give some time to the other guys, and
because if there is no I/O, that's sort of a self. Adjusting behavior.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that if this problem happens now, oh, but you mentioned that it's probably, okay, I see, because
if there's no block and there's nothing else going on, there's the idle process spinning on the CPU, which is...
Then why don't you take over the CPU and that's it?
Yeah. So that's... That's an alternative to keep in mind.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So basically, well, at least for BPQ, I think we need to first BPQ is the obvious benchmark to optimize. If we can, actually, I'm not even sure that we can. I guess we need to find out first where the time's going, but. BPQ is basically doing a couple of things. It's mostly doing minor faults. So it generates a fault, look up for the page. It turns out that the looking up for a page doesn't take much time. I already found that out. Then it creates a patch, single step, queue the patch, and that's it, okay? And move forward. So that's basically the steps it is doing. I guess there are some hidden things there, like the allocation of the memory itself.
Hmm.
So
what is the metric that we can use to call schedule? What do we count? We cannot count the number of patches, because we have patches distributed across multiple pages. What do we count?
No, but we count the number of patches of the current page.
Number of the current process.
Of the current
process is what we need. Because the process may create patches in multiple pages.
No, the thing is that I think it's the current page. Because if the current process has a lot of patches, but it's only one patch per queue, per page, then it's fine. Because we have a lot of outstanding write fetches in the queue at the same time. Which means that we are taking good advantage of the parallelism of the device, and the application is actually moving forward. I think faster, faster than it would in vanilla, right?
Mm.
Now, in the case of BPQ, where we have a huge patch queue, first we have only one single ascending write patch.
BPQ is how many patches there are, but
in BPQ, we have
an average of
It has a close to 600 passes.
Oh, that's the micro benchmark that you created?
That's the micro benchmark, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that we should probably focus on the micro benchmark.
So, okay.
Yeah. So in the case of BPQ, we see that there is a single ascending write fetch. I guess my point is that it's not the same a process with 600 patches in 600 different pages that a process with a single page and 600 patches, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we lost the card. In callback. I see your point.
So my point is that we need to account is for the number of pages or number of patches that we have per page.
So can we do something like, but even that is not enough. I think, for instance, if we have a page that we created two patches, and then we created patches for other guys, and then we created two patches going on. What do we know if the patch queue for a given page increases beyond a certain amount? What does that tell us?
That tells us that there is a lot of locality in that page.
Mm-hmm.
Based on BPQ,
mm-hmm.
it seems like we cannot fill the whole page
mm-hmm.
With minor faults,
mm-hmm.
right? While the AI is happening, at least with SSD.
Mm-hmm.
So we perhaps should
schedule
and give the CPU to somebody else.
So can we do a simple heuristic like when there is a non-blocking write, before we create a patch or even after, I don't know when, at which point in those four steps, maybe right in the beginning, right? Before we create a patch, we look at the size of the patch queue and then call schedule, either create another patch or call schedule based on the size of the patch queue. What if we do the simple optimization and run BPQ again? Would that be easy to do quickly?
What is the optimization again?
Either, depending on the size of the patch queue, either create another patch or call schedule.
Right. Oh, I guess in this case it won't matter because
with BPQ it won't matter.
Yeah, because there is just one process running. Right?
Okay, so you're saying that with BPQ that context switch overhead is not the explanation.
I don't know. It probably is. I mean,
how?
But in that case, I don't know. The thing is that in BPQ, well, first, BPQ is single-threaded, and there is nothing else running, right?
Okay.
Even though that is happening, non-blocking writes is slower.
Okay? The question is why.
The question is why. That's the first one. Now, if the answer is because of all the mode switch, then what we have to do is at some point we should stop doing mode switch, which means that not only we have to do a schedule, but probably we have to lock.
We had to wait for I/O?
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're doing too much non-blocking, right?
So waiting for I/O would call schedule anyway. So it's one
true,
or the other.
True, but the process won't be able to run until the I/O is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which means that we want to have more mode switch.
Right, but I don't think you've explained that mode switch would be the problem with BPQ.
Yeah. True. Well, I don't know yet, because the thing is that there is also a catch on the mode switch. The thing is that while we are running, there are a lot of mode switch. At the same time, the I/O is happening, right? Mode switch. Now, the I/O finishes, and I explained that last week, by the way. And we need to do one more mode switch in order to set up the page table.
Okay.
So we are basically doubling the amount of mode switch that you'll see in vanilla.
But how many pages do we have mode switch for in vanilla? And if we multiply that by 2 microseconds.
That would be 10,000.
10,000 times 2 microseconds.
20,000 microseconds. 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds times 240 milliseconds does not explain the difference of 4 seconds.
No.
The only other thing that I can think of is somehow that we continue to have mode switches even after the page is, the IO is completed.
Mm.
And what it's not one extra, I don't know.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. For some weird locking or synchronization issue, we end up having keep going and creating more patches before
the IO can be
before
the patches can be applied and
yes.
The IO finally, I guess, finished.
Or somehow that the interrupts are delayed because of the way we do non-blocking writes, we disable interrupts and so the IO completion.
Actually, we disable interruptions a lot because of locking.
And therefore, the interrupts are delayed. But how much can it delay?
Yeah. Actually, we disable interruptions just to queue the patch.
And when are the patches applied? The patches are applied in interrupt-free context?
No, it's applied in the context.
In the process context?
In the interruption context.
In the interruption context.
Yeah.
Right, so that, yeah, I guess that's what I wanted to say when I said interrupt free, which is inside the interrupt handler.
Yeah.
So as soon as the interrupt comes in, we'll apply the patches.
Yeah.
And make the page up to date. Right?
Yeah. And clear the non-blocking writing.
So we don't have an explanation for BPQ. We may have an explanation for Batik with the mode switch argument. But the mode switch argument, if it applies for, may apply for Batik because there is more work to be done, right? But what's going on with BPQ? Even the single stepping doesn't explain because all of that is, like you said, happening in the background, right?
Yeah, I guess BPQ should be, my point is it should be faster or the same time with vanilla, but not slower. It doesn't make any sense.
Are we measuring time correctly?
I think so. I mean, I'm using the same way of measuring time by block trace. So I'm using exactly the same function that block trace uses to measure time.
Are we measuring time from starting from the same point and ending at the same point for vanilla and non-blocking writes?
Yeah.
In other words, are these two actually comparable, these two times?
They are, because it's exactly the same benchmark.
Let me bring up BPQ.
It's exactly the same benchmark.
Why is there a 2 second difference? In fact, we should go faster with non-blocking writes because we are sort of postponing. I mean, we don't care for IO completion, right?
Yeah, but
the benchmark will finish executing before IO can complete. I mean,
well, in this case, IO completes faster than the time it takes to create all patches for all the page.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, that doesn't work in this case, but.
Now the question is why it takes so long to create all the patches, right?
What I don't understand is why is it, there must be a simple explanation for this. So what's going on? So we, so there's a font, and let's talk about vanilla also. Let's talk about vanilla first. So in vanilla, where do you start? When do you start measuring time? This first guy, the bench time.
Right before starting the writes.
Right. So first you create all the mappings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start writing full pages,
mm-hmm.
right? 4 bytes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 4 bytes. So vanilla would fault, then block, and after the iOS, so which is block. Okay, there's nothing else going on. So the CPU is idling.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a IO completion, fault handler runs,
mm-hmm.
there's a vanilla, and then continue, fill up the page,
mm-hmm.
go to the next page, fault
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing repeats.
Mm-hmm. 10,000 times.
10,000 times. Okay. So the total time for vanilla is the total IO time plus the total write time.
Yeah.
Because these are disjoint in time.
I guess plus the mode switch of those 10,000 switches, it shouldn't be much.
Plus the 10,000 mode switches.
Which, according to my calculations, 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds. And the total time is 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Almost 9. Okay, so with non-blocking writes, write to the first 4 bytes to the first page causes a fault. We allocate the page just like vanilla,
mm-hmm.
but then we do a couple of other things. We create a patch to
allocate the page and send the IO. Just
allocate
like
the page, send the IO. So that's just like vanilla.
Just like vanilla.
Okay. So while the IO is could that be the problem that the IO does not get issued immediately?
When?
In the case of vanilla, when the IO is issued, when the IO is queued into the scheduler, the process is blocked, so there's no other thing to do except, you know, work on the IO,
you're talking about vanilla, right?
Hmm.
In vanilla, the IO, the page will be allocated, the IO will be scheduled, and then it will lock.
Hmm. So block
on the page.
Block.
So it will block. Yeah.
What I'm asking is, when does the IO actually go out to the disk? When is it issued to the dispatch to the disk?
When the scheduler decides that it's a good time to schedule.
Could it be that in non-blocking writes somehow? Come on in, Salma. Come on in. Come on in, Salma.
Come
on in.
Okay.
Have a seat.
Sure.
We're almost wrapping up here. Working on a riddle. Okay, so you have, but in the case of non-blocking writes, you queue the IO,
right?
And then you keep going, you return back to user space, you do the next minor
right.
fault,
right?
Create the patch,
right?
Is it possible that somehow the IO, dispatching of the IO gets delayed?
What do you mean the dispatching of the
IO? To the disk.
Why delay?
I don't know. When does it get dispatched?
It's a regular scheduler, right?
It's a regular scheduler, but...
So it depends on how many IOs you have in the scheduler?
So in this case, there's only one IO.
Yeah, so most likely it will be dispatched, right?
Or is there some sort of anticipatory thing going on there where it is not dispatched immediately?
Oh, I see.
could be. You're talking about the plugin.
Yes, because the thing is, in the case of vanilla.
Right.
In the case of vanilla, the scheduler will dispatch immediately because it figures that the process is blocked. It cannot issue any more I/O. So it might as well it may unplug the blocking of the process may unplug the queue.
Okay, could be. I don't know if that happens, but could be.
But in the non-blocking rights case,
it doesn't block. So
the process does not block. So could it be that the queue is plugged for a longer period of time,
okay.
And that happens for every request. And
okay,
if we are dealing with SSDs with low latencies, the plugging time may be significant.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to think about.
I think once I read, because I have had problems with plugging before. So I think the plugging the unplugging happens in with two events. First, there is a timer which unplug, and second, you send a request to unplug explicitly. But I don't remember anything about the locking of the process or something. I don't know.
The plugging actually helps two things. One is locality for disks.
Right.
Right. So the
spatial locality. Right.
And merging. Those
True.
Are the two things that plugging helps with. And neither of those is useful for BBQ on SSDs.
No.
So what if we disable plugging and run this experiment again? That's another thing to try.
But then I have to disable in both cases.
For both cases. Yes. I think vanilla plugging, if I would guess right, the plugging is inconsequential because the process blocks anyway.
Yeah. Well, actually, it shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen.
Second. If it happens, then there is a wait. There is an unnecessary waiting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's something to think about. What is this happening? Let's walk through the non-blocking write process again. So you have a major fault. You allocate the page, issue the I/O, create the patch, queue the patch, or do the single stepping, queue the patch, return to, so there is a mode switch there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the mode switch, that mode switch is also with the vanilla, the mode switch doesn't occur at that time. It occurs much later.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there is a context switch and there is a different process scheduling, then you would have the extra switch at the time of issuing I/O. And then, then the next access creates a minor fault. The minor fault again, there is a patch creation and patch queuing mode switch, minor fault, patch creation, mode switch, and this keeps happening 600 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the process does not block. In fact, it goes through its entire 10 millisecond quantum. It can go through that. Except the I/O completes at some point, and that would probably be before 10 milliseconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I/O completes. So when the I/O completes, what happens? The device driver is going to this is all happening in interrupt context. Device driver runs the fault hand, runs the disk
end
I/O handler, and that's where we dequeue all the patches and apply them to the page. How do we do that?
What do you mean?
how do we apply the patches? Well, we have a page.
We go over the queue and apply patches in order.
And that's copying memory,
copy,
right?
Copy memory. Copy. Just copy. Yeah. Mem copy.
Do we have a timing for that? For patch?
I used to have, but it was very small.
It was really small. And it happens
really
only
small.
Once per page, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen on every minor fault.
First, it doesn't happen on every minor fault. And second, I remember that it was really small, even per page. Yeah. Or per end IO.
Mm.
So it was very small. It was a few nanoseconds.
Okay, so you apply the patches to the page, and then what? Then the next time the process writes to the page,
it will fault.
It will fault. It's a minor fault.
That's a minor fault. It will find the page.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That could be one problem. If we are not making the page go to the top of the LRU, then the system could evict the page before it's accessed again. So it has to be read again. You understand what I'm saying?
But when the page is made up to date, wouldn't it go to the top of the LRU queue?
No, I think it is more than that. But I'm marking the page as accessed.
Okay.
It should be in the top of the LRU. So what would happen then?
Or at least it should get a second chance.
It should get a second chance, definitely. So what would happen is that the process would go again, minor fault. The page would be found in memory. It will set up the page tables and return, right? The process will finish writing the whole page and then move to the next page and the process starts again.
Think of anything else wrong with this.
Yeah.
Where is time going?
It could be memory pressure again.
But we said that there is no memory pressure. I mean, or at least it's the same memory pressure as vanilla.
Yeah.
And we are only comparing these two times. We are not comparing some other random
time. But how do we calculate the memory pressure? I mean, how do we say vanilla has more memory pressure than
three frames? Three frames is a good thing, but you shouldn't compare three frames of BPQ and Batik. You should compare three frames of BPQ, non-blocking writes, and vanilla. You could look at that.
Yeah, but even I think based on three frames, it's a little bit flawed because three frames include clean pages.
Could
which
be.
May not.
In which case, you could look at this time, the page.
Yeah.
Page allocation time. Look at that.
Yeah.
For vanilla.
Exactly. That's what we have to look for.
Yeah. Okay, so plugging page allocation time of vanilla. But I would highly recommend for you to go through these sorts of slow mental exercises about the process and break it up into small parts and see where time might actually disappear on us, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we have a lot of data right now. We shouldn't spend more time collecting data. We should just focus, for instance, on PPQ and try to explain the data. And if we need more data to explain the existing data for BBQ, that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's the part that we need to focus next on, explaining the data.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see how it goes. At least the plugging thing is something that you can try out quickly, right?